When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody all right? I'm not. This is a view from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 23rd of April, 2024. My name's Patrick Smith. It's episode 34 of the series and the final one. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube and enjoy what we do, like and subscribe and all that sort of stuff. I've heard a bit of feedback on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We always enjoy a bit of that on this week's show. So close for the Belfast Giants, but ultimately a 3-1 defeat in the final dance and the Giants 23-24 season. Let's look at the crack from the weekend, the win over Cardiff and the defeat to Sheffield. The Belfast Giants lads themselves are on a very well-earned break. So it's just going to be the four of us on this show. We'll be looking back at the season, highs, the lows, and maybe look ahead to an off-season that potentially has a bit of change. If you've anything you'd like to discuss and you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or the likes, drop a line to us. We'll keep an eye. We'll mark it down. We'll have a chat. Or drop us a line on at AVFTB on Twitter. We keep an eye on that. Mr. McGimsey, who was hard at work on the bench, you might stand to the side of the bench if you were in Nottingham at the weekend. How are you doing, mate?
Very well, Paddy. Like we said last week in closing sort of on the podcast, the playoff weekend gives you the highest highs and the lowest lows. And that last weekend was really no exception. It was absolutely brilliant and absolutely dreadful in equal measures, unfortunately.
We did get the extremes of that. Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm all right, yeah, dead on.
Good weekend.
Sure, glad the season's over now. What?
You're glad the season's over?
Yeah, glad the season's over. It's been a long season. It's one of those ones where I'm just watching the comments coming across here. Oh, why do AVFTV have to finish? I need a break as well, you know. It's all full steam ahead for next season. It's just crazy that you come out of this one and you go straight into the next one, and it's all the boys. Some of the guys have already left already. A couple of boys are away to GB. Obviously Sato's away to play for Japan, and there's a few other bits and pieces that are heading off tomorrow and stuff as well. So it's a long wait to get everybody ready, and the guys will be looking forward to getting back to their homes as well. So, it's been a long season, and the weekend, as I say, just a little step too far. I thought we did really well, and we're going on to talk about it, but we'll see how it goes.
I agree, mate. Marty, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm pretty refreshed compared to you guys. I just watched the games at home. A few beers in the house, so it's good to watch the hockey, but obviously disappointing to see what happened in the final there. But for playing you guys, going over there and enjoying the weekend. I've only been to playoffs once. That was back in 2007. Every time I always think, yeah, I've got to go, and never get my finger right. So certainly next year, I would like to join you.
Well, sir, listen, it's
that's certainly... A con- that's a contract.
The contract is coming with us. Marty's on his way. Certainly, there's a credit to everybody involved with regards to the Elite League as to how the weekend went. I think it's the biggest crowd I've seen in a couple of years, since before COVID, that attended the playoff finals on both days. So credit the likes of the Brooksy, Mike Hicks, of course, to the Luke Fisher and the media team and everybody involved in that it went so smoothly, and it was actually such a success off the ice and, of course, on the ice for the likes of the Sheffield Steelers. And on that, gents, let's get cracking into the weekend. Obviously, the Sheffield Steelers won the first semi-final 6-3 over the Guildford Flames, a game where Guildford themselves actually pulled it back to 3-3 before Sheffield kicked on. And at 7 p.m., we went on to our own semi-final. It was against the Cardiff Devils. And what a battle it was. It ended with a 2-1 overtime win for the Giants. Blake Spears put us one up in the second period before, in the final 5 minutes, Cody Donnelly made it 1-1. In the overtime we went, and Greg Prince, 3 minutes and 5 seconds, found the back of the net. We'll no doubt see that in just a few seconds. Jackson Whistle in goals, 21 shots on, 1 goal against. Ben Bounds, the other side, 36 shots on, 2 goals against. Tom Perring and David Good were your referees. I'll start with you, Davey. I thought this was a great game. We left it all out there. Both teams, I felt, left it all out there. It was physical. The referees kept their whistles in their pockets predominantly. It was just very enjoyable.
It was a great game of hockey. Obviously, there's more stress when your team's involved in it than you'd like, but I thought over the piece that, you know, we outshot them quite well. We probably outchanced them fairly well. Both goaltenders on the day were excellent. I think Jackson actually over the 4 playoff games, the man of the match 3 times out of the 4 playoff games, and give us a chance to win. And Blake Spears, obviously, I thought that was going to end 1-0 until the late penalty call took us in the overtime. But like, I thought we were good value for it. And as you say, a physical game, fast paced. You know, for this stage of the season, everybody had legs underneath them for the whole, you know, whatever it was, nearly 70 minutes as it turned out. But a real good advert for the league, to be honest, and I'm glad we came out on top. But I think you see, you know, Pete Russell's magnanimous in defeat, saying, you know, if it went the other way, I think Adam Keefe would also been, you know, happy with the team performance. I think Pete was pleased with how the Cardiff Devils performed, and on the day it was just going to take one little individual either mistake or piece of brilliance to win the game. And I thought that it came from Blake Spears. Obviously, it went into overtime, and it obviously then came from a combination of a little mistake and a great play from Ben Lake and a superb finish from Greg Prince. So very pleasing afternoon's work, early evening's work, actually.
I thought, especially like, I'm actually going to pull it back to that first goal. The work from Aaron Azarian, the quick thinking from Aaron Azarian, back to goal just to see Blake open on the left hand side was just very, and didn't give Bounds any time to set.
Yeah, I thought it was Princey. Was it Princey?
I think it was given to Nazarian, but are you right? It is Prince.
That doesn't mean anything.
never does. So
I thought Davey just basically mentioned there. It was a really, really good advert for the IHL. You know, it's obviously going live on Premier Sports. After the Sheffield game, I just thought it was a really entertaining game, and I don't think Adam would have been, you know, certainly would have been disappointed, but had it finished, and we obviously come out in the wrong end of that semi-final, it completely changes the weekend. You know, nobody wants to go in and play in the third and fourth place playoff game unless you're taking coin off that 3-6-5. Thank you very much. But you know, the challenge that they have with it is the game was just relentless and really physical. I just thought that first goal, as I say, for us itself, you know, with some really good chances in the first period. Bounty played very, very well. Jackson at the other end played very well as well. It sort of was a battle of GB goalies, and you know, coming out on top of it for Jackson will certainly do his confidence no harm getting into the World Championships here in the next few weeks as well. But the first goal was great. The second goal, the first goal for the Cardiff Devils, what a finish from Cody Donaghy, I think it was. It was absolute cannon top corner. And then, you know, Davey just said there was a great play by Ben Lake. I don't think Laker meant to make that pass. I think he meant to put it on his tape. But the finish from Greg Prince over the shoulder of Ben Bynes was absolutely outstanding. getting the puck elevated with like you're maybe 2 feet away from him or 3 feet away from him to get it up and it touched the crossbar and down was an absolutely fantastic finish. And you know, it's like, you know, you get the, there's half of the fan base absolutely delighted, the other half are deflated. I'm just happy that it was basically us getting the positive result coming out of that game, because I thought the game was absolutely brilliant, and it was really good to basically finish off the Saturday evening with a positive result.
Hi, Glovin, Ben Bounds. Marty, you know, from your point of view, you're watching on the atmosphere and the way that sometimes these games don't match up to the expectation that both teams had. This one certainly did.
It did, and I think the Giants, their emphasis the last month, it's been building, obviously it's all been geared towards the playoffs, but I think our defensive play has been excellent, and it was quite evident right up until that goal, that the first goal that Blake Spears had scored, that we were just congested in the neutral zone. Every time Cardiff tried to come, obviously on the attack, we just kept on breaking them down, you know, and I think Pete Russell kind of maybe ran out of ideas. So I think Adam Keefe just got the edge on that front. And then once we put that goal in, we just contained the game 1-0, just managed it very well. And then unfortunately, it was Mark Cooper, wasn't it, that got put into the box. He took the penalty. I think it was slightly, it was a bit of a weak call, but you know, Cardiff went out there, capitalized on the power play and leveled it up, but just going into overtime, I could see Cardiff were being a little risky. I think it was Cox that tried to do, there's a bit of a turnover happened in around neutral zone, he picked it up in the blue line. The three Giants players were actually defending. Here it is here. Yeah, he tries to dipsy doodle, 2-on-1, and then Mosey, I thought he would have just stayed over covering Prince, and he tries to go over and support Sanford because Sanford's backtracking, and it just leaves Plenty open there for. But look, it was a tough finish, but it was a great finish as well, and that's where we just pipped them in the end.
I would say, Paddy, just before you go, nice analysis from Marty there. Time and time again, so Cardiff largely controlled the overtime period. You know, they had an awful lot of chances, and they were doing the same play every time. I don't know whether that becomes a good read. I know Jeff Mason and a lot of being drilling the boys, but they were rolling it round, and the centre was then just trying to pick it up and go with speed right through the middle of the two guys. And Brown just manages to stand up long enough and get a little poke check. And then, you know, yourself in 3-on-3, once you get turned, you come up with 2-on-1 opportunities, and that's bounced off the toe there. But he's picked up with that massive long stick of his, and Paddy might have a better angle on it there if you want to share that from our genius friend Neil Whiteside. Was Sam
this is,
right?
This is the video.
This is the Neil Whiteside one, yeah. Just where he turns it. That celebration is outstanding, because I think as says when Donaghy scored, he stood in front of the Cardiff Devil fans like this, giving it.
Yeah.
All this. So players of memory, Sizzle tell you that. The players remember numbers, players remember celebrations. And when Prince scores the goal, the exact same celebration as Donaghy had done just a few minutes earlier there.
It seems to can't be Cardiff
see
every
can't
time.
See from this Cardiff. Angle. Can't see it from this angle as well, but he just remembers there. And it was it's a terrible way to end your season, I'm sure. We've been there ourselves in overtime situations and playoffs where you're out and you don't want to be in that third, fourth place play. And that Sizzle say tell you as well, the idea of ending your season in that third and fourth place game is a big, big card to dangle. Lads, do you want this to be your last real game for the club? You know, there's players, and we talked about it last week, there's be players that won't be back just for, they'll move on the other team. There'll be players retire. You never have the same team back again. Do they really want, as a group, to be playing their last ever game in that third, fourth place shambles? Because no matter how much money you make on it, it's still a stupid game. I don't care. And I know they're trying to do something to make the ticket more valuable, not, but it's not a game that any. But now, saying that, the crowd that was in was unbelievable. Yep. On the Sunday lunchtime game for the third, fourth place playoff game, I have never seen it as busy. So maybe it is a game people want to see. I don't know. There certainly was a big cheer when the 11th goal went in.
You're taking the account, speaking with some people involved with the commercial aspect of the league, you'll find that despite the fact it was £15 in and around for the actual stream, it was one of the largest selling streams of the weekend, was the third, fourth place game, or so I believe. But so whether that's a case of teams wanted to see the final game of the final game of the Cardiff and New Guildford season, whether it's a betting angle coming from somewhere, who knows. But let's go back and we'll hear from Greg Prince after the game, and then we'll start talking about the final.
Chat with Greg Prince after the 3-1 overtime victory with Cardiff Devil Princey. That was an unbelievable game for both sides, but they get the OT winner, and you got to get smothered by your teammates, and that was pretty good for
them. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, there was a battle all night, like how it's been all season with those guys, so it was really nice to move on tomorrow and get a shot at Sheffield. Hopefully, take that trophy home.
You've had a, you know, it's obviously been, you know, a tough couple of weeks. And last weekend was a real battle against the Coventry Blaze. You've already said it, the Devils have given you tough games this season as well. And you knew, I mean, right the whole way through that game, it was a really tight battle.
Yeah, I mean, we've been basically playing playoff hockey for the last month. The Sheffield games were playoff atmosphere in Belfast. That was unbelievable. Then Cove going in there, that was a battle as well. And then tonight, so I think we're. Everything's been preparing us for tomorrow, so we're excited and we're ready.
Talk us through it too, a moment later.
Yeah, and he came down. I thought he was going to shoot it, but got it over me. Made a nice little play, went far down, and kind of blacked out after that. He's trying to get the fans going, so
Sheffield tomorrow, you know it's going to be a tough game. But as you say, 60 minutes, or potentially maybe a little bit more, but 60 minutes, you've got a chance to get a trophy.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, one last game, and hopefully we can do it. We know we can play with these guys, so we just got to go out there and prove it tomorrow.
Cheers, Princey.
Awesome, thanks.
And then we move on to the game that took place on Sunday at 5 p.m. Of course, the Elite League playoff final, the Belfast Giants against the Sheffield Steelers. And it was a 3-1 win for the Sheffield Steelers. I'm getting ahead of myself there, boys. Champagne, with a power play goal on 15:49. Usula with it on 16:24 on the power play. We'll talk about that power play, no doubt. Blake Spears again getting the goal for the Belfast Giants. This one was Nazarian, and then the empty netter from Kevin Tansey made it 3-1. Jackson Whistler in nets, 29 shots on and 2 goals against. Matt Greenfield the other side, 30 shots on, 1 goal against. Tom Perring and Andy Dalton were the referees. Says. I'm just like, well, scribbling my notes and just trying to think of the game or whatever. I just thought it's just another great game, just another great battle. We already had a great battle between these two sides in Belfast a couple of weeks ago. So the Giants knew that they could take the Sheffield Steelers in one-off game, especially when it comes to the playoff final. And yes, we'll talk about the 5-minute major and stuff that led to 2 goals. But ultimately, this was a really close battle.
Yeah, the 5-on-5, to be honest, there's not much between the two teams. And the power play, which you just mentioned there about the Steelers, I'm going to be very, very honest, that's probably one of the best power plays that I've seen in the Elite League, if not the best power play. The way they were throwing that puck about was just ridiculous. It was like something from you know, Tampere or one of the top European teams. I'm not putting them in that group with as a team, but the power play that was just go back and watch it again. They were pinging that puck all over the place, tape to tape. And obviously that 5-minute major was absolutely critical to the result of the game. And, you know, we can go on and say, was it a penalty? And was it intentional? And it went for a review. And obviously the refs are getting daggers over it. Princey gives the referee a decision to make. Does he need to win? I mean, when you look at it from there, it's, you know, if you're a red scarf around your neck, an orange scarf around your neck at the game, then you're crying out, you know, and Watling looks as if he's been poleaxed there. If you've got a Belfast Giants jersey on, you're saying it's not a penalty. You know, the rest of the fan base can make their own decisions on it. But when you look back at the way the Princey came in and made contact with him, it wasn't, in my opinion, from behind. Watling didn't miss a shift. Although again, he stayed down for what seemed like 15 minutes, and then obviously, you know, regained a massive boost of power and get back on for the power play again. So, but just watching it here again for anybody that's watched online, you know, it doesn't look great. I'm going to be honest, it doesn't look great. But that changed the whole game. They got two really quick power play goals. I've already said how good they were pinging the puck about for the power play. But 5-on-5, I thought we were absolutely right up there with them. I didn't think we had any anything to be worried about 5-on-5. And obviously we got a goal back through Spears, who was arguably our best player all weekend. You know, he's got a goal in the part of the semi-final, gets a goal in the final. You know, really, really, referees, again, didn't call a bucket load. And I thought that there was a call against Sheffield towards the end of that power play that I thought was very soft, that maybe an even up call is as a lot of guys would look at it. But it was disappointing that we conceded the two power play goals from Sheffield, which then put them in the driving seat to push on from that, and they sort of shut up shop. And I don't want to take all the time to talk about the game, and obviously Marty would have watched it from TV at home and get all the replays put into it as well. But yeah, the power play, the 5-minute major, completely changed the game.
I want to go around the whole. I want to stick with this hit because obviously it is quite controversial. It did have a massive effect on the game. And obviously we've got a view from Sis, who was watching up top. We'll get a view from Marty, who was at home, but that's a view from the bench. And Davey, you know, when you look at this, what was your reaction? And you're on mute, by the way. You're on mute, Davey. Yeah, so you're on mute there. Go ahead.
I didn't have the greatest of angles on it, obviously, from where I was. It happened on the bench side, and I'm obviously the second bench away from where that is. On replay, wasn't clever. As I said, given the decision to make, I banged on about these all season, so I can't. You've got to take a rough with a smooth here. The player making the hit is a responsibility. The player that's obviously going to be checked also has a responsibility not to put themselves in a vulnerable position. I think Watling, and there's a hit comes up on Jacob Friend later in the piece where he also puts himself in a bit of a vulnerable position. Watling's going down. Prince is going down. He's making an honest play at the puck, leave, clumsy, and he's given the referees a decision to make. Now, they've obviously used the benefit of calling the major under the new rules where they're able to go and look at it. Carrying Andy Dalton and they kick going and have a look at it on the video and at the penalty boxes. And they decide it's worth a major. You listen to Paul Leary on commentary talking about it and saying, you know, probably a 2-minute minor for him, not a major penalty. Should you take in the magnitude of the game and the situation in the game and the score of the game when you're making these calls? It's hard to know because
that's my next part of it, mate. And I'll come to you in a second, Marty. But that's just something I discussed in the period break, which was, do you call a 5-minute major for that? In a playoff final, the answer should be if it's a 5-minute major at the start of the season, five. But this is the playoffs, this is the playoff final. You want the guys to be out there on the ice playing. That to me is a 2-minute minor, 100% 2-minute minor. And you're right, we do give. Sorry, I've just said. Yeah, we do give Dalton the choice to make. But
it's actually Tom Perry makes the call.
Or Tom Perry, we give them both the choice to make regards to the referee, and they've called a 5-minute major. For me, nah.
It's one of those, Paddy. Like the playoffs are refereed differently. They have been. There's a lot more is allowed to go, and I think the players would want that. When it comes down to player safety, with these hits in and around the board, I can understand why people want. Simon says we're very pleased to see Watling get up after a couple of minutes, and he was absolutely fine, and that's what you want. You know, obviously there was a few players, seasons finished over the course of the weekend with different injuries, and you don't like to see that, and unfortunate for them, but you know. And I think Sheffield would have been happy enough in that situation had it been called a 2-minute minor. Their power play is very good, as Simon says. What they do really well, and you can see here, they push the play down so low that they claim the top of the circles. They're not then shooting from the blue line. They're shooting from the top of the circles, and they're just compacting everything in time and time again. They're just trying to get their top man to the top of the circles here, and then it's bang, bang, and I'm wearing on top of Jackson. And you, instead of defending the blue zone, you're just defending the house, and those shots come in and they're very, very difficult to deal with. And that's basically how both goals were scored. They got down low on the power play. They scored the very next shift, which took a lot of wind out of our sails. And at different times this season, this Belfast Giants team might have gone on to lose 3, 4, 5, but there's different character now. They've been really, really good over the last sort of 20 games, and obviously we've got our own power play with a couple of minutes to go and came in at the end of the second period 2-1. But Simon said at the very start, 5-on-5, and this was a 0-0 game. All the goals were scored special teams and an empty netter. So, you know, the juggernaut that has been the Sheffield Steelers this season, they had to earn that trophy on Sunday afternoon. And I guess what comes down to it, they just had maybe a little bit more puck luck than we did on the Sunday. And, you know, they've came away with all three this season. And you'll never be able to take that away from them. It's in their record books now.
Marty, I'm going to come to you in just a second, but says you wanted to dig in there.
Yeah, I mean, there was another hit on Jacob Friend in the second period. Yeah. Now, it was right down in front of us. It's created a lot of talk on social media. I just wanted to get the views on that because I don't think it was as bad as the one that we've just seen there now. However, it looked like it was actually somebody made a point to me on Sunday night. It was like all these WWE wrestlers. Was it a DDT or something?
So I'm going to have to get up for this one.
You're sure you do a DDT? Is that what you're doing?
No, I've no idea what a DDT is, mate. I'm in my 40s now. Jacob Friend, whenever he comes in to make the hit, he plays a little 1-2 off the back of the net, and he goes low to go, you know, almost to turn round to spin.
What are you doing?
So it'll come up.
Show us again, Davey.
Give you a solo here.
Get a stick. Right, come.
It's too long. So Friend has the puck behind the net. He's eligible to be hit. And whenever it is, I can't remember who it is. Alan?
Yes.
Yeah. And he plays the 1-2 off the back of the net, says. And he goes to spin low round to go and win the puck back. And when he spins low, he gets hit. He does get a high shoulder neck, head area. And for me, it's a bad hit. But a bit like the hit on Watling, it's probably in the final. For me, it's only a 2-minute. I know the Giants wanted 5 because there have been 5 called on a very similar hit. But in that situation as well, Friendly probably just needs to stand up and take that hit. But he's trying to make a play. It's difficult.
It is. Marty, going to come to you now, give you your take, obviously, about the 5-minute major and the way the Giants played in this game.
Well, the 5-minute major, initially watching it from home on the TV, I thought, oh, it's a bad hit. You know, why have you done this, Princey? And I thought immediately, you know, 5 or even being kicked out again. But once it gets slowed down, then you can see that initially he's going in for the poke check, but then Watling kind of misplays the puck, so he loses possession of the puck. He's then trying to turn just to get the puck, and then that's when Prince comes in. Walling's quite low, but Prince comes in and then does hit him side on side. So you can actually see that he hasn't initially went in there to more or less cream him. He thinks that Walling's going to have possession of that puck, and he's going in there initially to poke check it. So that's where I thought at most it should have been a 2-minute penalty. And unfortunately, that 5-minute just changed the whole direction of the game. I thought prior to that hit, certainly watching at home, I just thought all the pressure was from ourselves. I thought we looked better. We looked more confident. And I just thought, we're going to grab a goal here until that incident had happened. And then the guys analysed the power play perfectly, you know, especially for the Steelers' first 2 goals. There was times where I seen the Giants' 2 D-men going below the goal line to try and defend the power play. It's not often you see 2 D-men going below their own goal line to try and contain that puck. And Sheffield's just, the minute the Giants dropped far too deep, boom, straight up to the top, worked it well, got a shot on, got a bit lucky with a rebound, and first goal was a nice finish there on the backhand. But I think the refs kind of, I think it was about 3 minutes we had that we were 3 minutes into that 5-minute penalty, and then there was a bit of a weak call. We evened it up, then were able to go out there and get the goal back, which made it 2-1. And then obviously 5-on-5, everything was looking equal, we were looking solid. I thought we were edging closer and closer. It looked like we were going to get an equaliser. But Sheffield are just so good, aren't they, managing the game and containing, and then they have so much faith in Greenfield. There was just a one that went, I think it just went past his top right. It's just a whisker. One of the, I don't know which forward it was, a bit of a blur. Obviously, the final stages, you're just egging on the guys just to try and get that goal. There was a nice redirect, and Greenfield got lucky. They just skimmed the post and went wide. But obviously, then once you pull the goalie, you maybe pull him a little bit earlier in the playoff final, and it was Tansy, wasn't it? Got the empty netter. It's probably one of the best empty net goals I've ever seen. Good loft, and yeah, just it's sickening to see. But
I fully agree with you
on that one. But it was a really enjoyable game to watch, and it just going back to how Adam Keefe and the coaching staff have got the boys geared up into playoff hockey. I just think our defensive game has got way better, and then obviously Jackson Whistle as well. He's just been standing on his head, and he's making a real good shout there to be number one for GB. I mean, he deserves it. You know,
between Saturday and Sunday, I fully agree on that.
Yeah. Going back, I did see this hit, but I'm just trying. When you guys were chatting about it, I kind of forgot about it, but. If you want to bring the boys back in this here again.
Go on, David, you're running this.
I'm just trying to show there, because it wasn't shown in the highlights, I'm just trying to show the actual hit where, come back, just what I was trying to describe, where it comes to Jacob Friend and he just tries to play a clever little play off the back of the net. You see here, he's just going for the, put it one side of Allen and spin back the other way. And unfortunately, Allen just catches him as he goes low, and obviously big lad, you know, Jacob Friend's a big lad, but he's obviously lowered himself to try and make the little spin there, and he's got caught up high, and thankfully as well for that, you know, Jacob was all right to continue in the game, but shook up a little bit. But you know, Sizz can talk about that hit there, he's seen the replay now.
Jamie, your demo was absolutely spot on, son. Well done.
No messing about.
You just want this over, mate, don't you?
Yeah, come on, hurry up. I want to watch the rest of the match.
The one last question. When the Giants look back at this game, or when Adam Keefe looks back at this game, says, where does he feel he could have made improvements?
I think if you ask Adam, he would have asked the guys to empty the tank, and I think they did that. I genuinely do. I thought over the weekend they gave 100% of everything they can. You know, it just comes down to a major penalty in a game that Marty's absolutely right. I thought we were not, I don't want to say in control, but I thought we were the better team up to that point. And then, you know, their power play has been the best all season. It was absolutely brilliant. I don't know if you agree, but I really was impressed with them in the power play. 5-on-5. I just thought that we could play with them. But it's disappointing to lose off, you know, on a Sunday after the playoff weekend. We've been in that position before. I sure as hell know that, you know, Adam would take getting to the final and looking at it as a success to a point, but knowing him as I know him and the character that he is and you know how successful we've been over the last few years, it's definitely a disappointing end to a season that promised much, you know, September, October time, and unfortunately just sort of got away from us with injuries and you know, losing so many guys and at crucial times and just not being able to put the same team out on the ice 3, 4, 5, 6 games at a time. But look, as I say, that it's done now, it's over for the season. It's congratulations to Sheffield Stairs. We talked about it. Well, I talked about it because you two wouldn't bring it up. But, you know, they've been the best team all season long. And they deserve to basically come out on the end. In fact, we all know what it felt like this time last year when, you know, we basically had those three trophies. We're standing on the ice in Nottingham and taking photographs of ourselves. We know how it felt. So, you know, it's not a nice feeling. I mean, I don't know if Davey noticed, but I walked out and I closed the team bench so we didn't have to watch it, because it's one of those things where you, once you see him lift the trophy, let them celebrate in front of their fans, and they celebrated in front of their fans. And look, again, rightly so. They were great. And then you get, like I said, you know, blow-in fans like Mark Hitchcock, thinking these Billy Big Balls turn up once every couple of years because the Sheffield Steelers have basically won a game. But, you know, we all know what he came for. So, you know.
We all do.
Let him get on with it there. You know, coming to Sheffield with night and going home with quite a bit in his pocket and something on the hip. So, fair play to him.
Davey, when you look back at this game, this final, what could the Belfast Giants have done to take it?
I think Adam Keefe said before the game, or maybe on Saturday night, the win tomorrow night against Sheffield, as good as they've been, we're going to have to be almost perfect. And we were almost perfect. That obviously 5-minute major against a very good, we talked last week about discipline, staying out of the box, and that's no criticism of Greg Prince, and you don't it's a team game, you don't criticize individuals in a team sport. That 5-minute penalty, obviously, where they scored two goals, very good power play. You can't give a really, really hot power play a 5-minute look. Gotta say, you know, hats off to him. I think the Belfast Giants on Sunday played probably pretty good game. We had a couple of really good grade A chances where Greenfield either made a really good save or we didn't quite execute in the way we could have. Fine margin, game of inches, and just unfortunately for us, 5-on-5. I said it was a 0-0 game. There was nothing in it. So both teams had their opportunities 5-on-5. Both goaltenders played really, really strong games. You know, defensively, we blocked so many really crucial shots. And, you know, the sound like Davey Jeffrey, bitterly disappointed. And, you know, but it is what it is now. You know, I don't know what I can say any more than that, Paddy. It hurts. It's the low of the low, you know.
And it is.
I think that team... I genuinely said it about Pete Russell on Saturday night, being magnanimous and saying, you know, the better team probably on the night won. I think had we went on and won on Sunday, I know that I've had Sheffield Steelers fans contact me, friends that I've had for a long time, saying had you won, would have taken it on the chin because you've played very well and we had two trophies and, you know, it would have been fine. But it would have been nice to end the season with a win. It's been that kind of season where it would have been a really nice punctuation to the season, but just wasn't to be. And still very proud of my club and my city, but just wasn't to be this year.
Marty, your closing thoughts on the final? What did the Giants miss that could have won them the game?
Well, the guys summed up everything, but I only have a short thing to add. We had two power plays just before the 5-minute incident. And we didn't capitalize on it. We definitely needed to take at least one goal from them two power plays to really stand a chance of beating the Sheffield Steelers. That's all I needed to add to what Sis and Davey have inputted there, because they've touched all levels and all grounds.
Yep, and ultimately, Sheffield did take that 3-1 win. They did win all three trophies this season, and congratulations to them. As I said, we know what that feels like. We know how much they enjoy it, and I hope their fans enjoy it up until August, when we start this circus all round again. A couple of things I want to do before we wrap up the show. Obviously, this is the final show of the season, and a couple of things I just want to consider. One thing is a big shout out to our good friend of the 3-on-3 podcast, Scott Finlay. When I was on their show at the start of the season, or midway through the season, he put us a challenge that we couldn't get through a whole show without using a nickname. And the forfeit for that, you can see there with him wearing a Belfast Giants shirt, and he saw the forfeit through. So nice one, Scott. Well done, mate. Thanks for doing that. I did get a message from him yesterday saying he's sick and tired of random photographs appearing where he's wearing that long shirt. I'm not sick and tired of that. More, if you have any photographs of Scott Finlay wearing that Belfast Giants CHL shirt, at AVFTB on Twitter, please. At AVFTB on Twitter. Nice one, buddy. A good weekend all around. Lots of real highlights, lots of real, not least the playoff pigeon, who real had a starring part in the whole of the weekend, kept landing on the ice and having to be chased away. What happened to the playoff pigeon on Sunday? Was it shuffled out? Anybody know? Anybody see it?
I don't think it was shuffled.
Say nothing. Don't call the RSPCA. Is that what you're saying? the playoff pigeon. But let's briefly, gents, look back. Like we've said this a few times, briefly look back at this season with regards to the Belfast Giants. It's not been the best of seasons. We've made the last game. We've been there or thereabouts. We finished third. Marty, I want to start with you on this because we finished third. You know, the Challenge Cup quarterfinal, not what we wanted from it, not especially the way that it went down. But we also made the final game. This team had potential, but unfortunately, it didn't reach it.
Yeah, it started off very promising in the CHL. Certainly. And then the thing that we've spoke about a lot of times, the 13-game winning streak. But it's sport. This happens. You know, we put our faith in Steve Thornton, Adam Keefe, to recruit the best guys for the Belfast Giants. They go out. They may well be the best guys, but sometimes chemistry mightn't work. There was times where the chemistry was flowing great, but then the injuries slip in and then sickness slips in and so much adversity obviously upsets our rhythm and we just don't get that flow continuing throughout the season. So obviously there is disappointment. The Challenge Cup was disappointment. We don't need to touch on that. You know, we know what happened there. The league, third place, end of the day, was anyone going to touch the Sheffield Steelers? They just had more or less a near-perfect season. You know, they were just winning, grinding wins. I maybe lost the odd one in 8 games or 9 games until the latter part of the season. So it was always going to be a tough task to try and beat them. It was more or less flawless for them. But I think what we were dealt with towards the remainder of the season and building into the playoffs, it was really promising. It could have went either way in the final. We can blame it on that 5-minute call that changed our fate of that final. But these things happen. You know, everyone's already looking forward to next season and what the Giants can bring. I know it'll be nice to keep the majority of the team, but just the nature of this league, you can always return with about a third of the team, sometimes close to half of the team. But seems to be some tasty rumours going about at the minute. So
we're in that season. We're in that season, aren't we? Davey, I'll come to you. When you look back, what are the highlights? What are the highlights and you take from it? What are the real things? And you know, what are your thoughts?
The two pictures Hitchie's just sent are quite
Are they?
I'll
tell you, Mark Hitchcock can go get. So I've just seen the two pictures.
I see in the comments section that now says Mark Hitchcock was banned and all their comments have been removed. So it didn't last long. Highlights the season, you know, obviously that run through the CHL and we've gone on that 13-14 game heater and we're going really well. Disappointments with the likes of Quinn Preston leaving, different injuries that went on through the season. Mark Cooper missed a big chunk of the season. Elijah Barriga missed the whole of the season. Mark Garside missed the whole of the season. You could go on and on. Players that came in missed games. You know, Henrik Eriksson missed games. David Goodwin missed games. We lost three guys, I think, in one night up in Dundee there around Valentine's weekend. It was just a catalogue of injuries and serious injuries. When you've got your kit man breaking his leg, you know you're in a, stressful season. So just one to write off in terms of that. I don't think it hasn't happened, and Simon will know better, like how many years it's been since you've had a season like that, if ever, for injuries. So you hope that that's your, you know, your 1 year. There's been highlights, there's been lowlights, but I guess the highlight of the season probably was getting to the playoff final. And unfortunately, we just came up that little bit short. It's been a season away from our own club of tragedy and heartache for a lot of people. And we have to, you know, remember those people and all the people that started the season that didn't make it the whole way through from our own, would do that great tribute at New Year's. And we always raise a glass as we did at the weekend. They are absent friends, and it's been a funny old season. And as Simon said at the start, it's over. I'm not all that disappointed it's over, but it'll not take me too long to be looking forward to the new one starting.
Says, what positives are you pulling from this whole season? Obviously, the negatives David, we've all talked about like the injuries and stuff like that. But when we look back at the season gone, what are you thinking? Actually, what went well? What are the positives?
Off the ice, the club's been outstanding. When you look at the fan base, what we've, you know, you talk about, all clubs should be attracting new fans, and we've done that. There's no doubt about that at all. When you look at the numbers of our season ticket holders, we've already beaten our record, which was this season, for next season. The numbers of fans coming through the doors week on week has been absolutely fantastic. On the ice, you know, the boys have just, you know, touched on it and analysed what's went right and what's went wrong. You know, it's been a really tough battle all season long. It's, you know, when you look at the injuries that we have picked up the whole way through the year, you talk about the likes of Elijah Bariga, who I was really looking forward to seeing, seeing what he was going to be able to do. He was here a few weeks ago getting his check up on his injury, and thankfully everything's healing very, very well. And, you know, will we see him next year? I have absolutely no idea. You know, it's up to Adam, Steve, and the coaching staff, and I know they're working hard, believe it or not. They had a meeting yesterday afternoon. They had a meeting again this morning. So, you know, they're going to be chatting every single day to try and put another competitive team on the ice. And when you talk about being competitive, it's, you know, you're not going to win every season. Winning is the hardest thing to do. And you, when you are the champions, everybody wants to beat you. Sheffield are going to realize that next year. Let's be honest, what Sheffield have done over the last 8, 9, 10 years, it should be unacceptable for Tony Smith and his team, because they're wanting to win the league every single year. And they haven't. I mean, Cardiff went through a period there of winning, you know, 3 or 4 league titles over 4 or 5 seasons. Belfast have done it 3 and kept on, obviously, during the COVID period. And when you look at those times, and Sheffield should have been up there, but they weren't. So, you know, they're now the best team in the UK. There's no doubt about that. You know, the numbers coming through their doors have been fantastic for years. And you know, the league as a whole this year, you know, I was talking to Brooks about this at the weekend, is everybody's numbers have gone up a bar, maybe Coventry, I think it is. And it's fantastic for the league, and it was great to have Premier Sports, you know, showing the games this weekend, and hopefully, you know, Brooksy and Luke Fisher and everybody behind the scenes at the IHL can push on from this and manage to pick something positive up from a TV deal, because while it would definitely help the league, the webcasts for the teams are very, very important. You know, there are other teams around the league that depend on that income coming in. So, yes, absolutely, all the webcasts can improve as well. Ours included, for sure. Get rid of that commentator. He's an absolute queen. it's important to have new things happening throughout the season. And as I say, it's been emotional. If you want to put it that way, it's definitely been emotional. You talk about right the whole way back, going to Tampere for our second game of the season, and then that unbelievable arena, playing Luco the night before, going away to Austria 4 days later. The travel schedule was, you know, it was really, really tough for the lads, coming back to stay for 24 hours and then back out in the road again. It was tough. But listen, anybody who still plays the game at this level, if they're complaining about being a sportsman and playing professional hockey, they need to wrap it up, because it's the best job in the world. It's absolutely fantastic. And they should be very, very privileged in that position to play, whether it's for Belfast, whether it's for Sheffield, Cardiff, or any other team. If you're playing a sport professionally, you are very, very lucky, and a very, very small minority of people in this world. So, yeah, we're done for the season.
A knowing nod from Gareth Martin there. Yeah.
It wasn't long enough for me.
Well, It's been one of these things. I'm going to do a bit of a wrap up, but one of the things I just want to do here as well is to congratulate Jeff Baum, who we put it out to everybody for the MVP, our own MVP that we've been running for many years, Davey. And Jeff Baum was got by far the most votes with regards to the MVP and sort of starts to pull together all the awards this year.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a surprise, really, was it? There was a few other candidates. You know, I think Ben Lake had a fantastic season. Yeah. We've talked about, I think Marty talked last week or the week before about, or maybe it was on the live podcast, about just what Daniel Tedesco's done since the turn of the year, in terms of when, you know, David Goodwin went in there with him and Lake, you know, good numbers, and obviously CHL goal season, Tyler Biscarwani, you know, goaltender of the round in the CHL, Jackson coming up massive from his came back into the squad after injury. But, you know, Jeff Baum has just been growing as a player from the day and hour he stepped on the Odyssey ice, and I'm not going to say coming of age, if you know what I mean, but he's really stepped into a leadership role as well within on and off the ice. And I know his dad will probably be watching and be very, very proud of what Jeff's done this season. I think should be very proud of himself too, and hopefully that injury heals up really quick. And obviously the KOTG MVP award's been presented almost exclusively for, it'll be 23, 24 years or whatever now, and Jeff's the latest name to go on to it, and so congratulations to him.
Massive congratulations to him. Any gents want to dig in with thoughts about Jeff Baum?
The kid's unreal. I said it a long, long time ago. He's got better and better in the 3 years that he's been in Belfast, and thoroughly deserves the accolade. I was talking to him last night. You know, he's looking forward to, do you know what? And that's another thing from the weekend. He was a big miss this weekend, you know, for what he's, again,
I agree,
being stepped in and missing a player of Jeff Baum's capability. It's a big miss. So, yeah, congratulations to Bomber. He's a top, top lad. Yeah, hopefully we can manage to encourage him to come back next season as well, because he has turned into a real, real player.
Marty?
Yeah. It's been a privilege to watch him for the past three seasons. You know, first season out there, just stay at home, be safe. Then you've just seen him grow in confidence. Then second season, play a little more risk, willing to go forward a little bit, obviously he got a few big goals, playoff final, etc. last year. And then this year, he was just switching with the forwards, being involved with the more offensive plays, and it was just great to see that kind of transition and that development within the 3 year period with the Belfast Giants.
Yep, massive congratulations to Jeff Baum. We're going to get him that award sent over to him and get him sorted out. And the MVP for 2023-24 season, as voted for by you, is Jeff Baum. One more thing, we just asked a few people. I'm just, there's a bit of a league news. We asked people just to throw in their own sort of comments and questions. And I know that one of the ones that's popped out is the fact that, well, do we need to rethink the Challenge Cup and the playoffs? What was announced over the course of the weekend, I believe that Tony Smith and Todd Kelman, that the 4,000 and Countings lads did some podcasts. So I think it was in Saltbox a couple of times in the green room for once. But I know that Tony Smith and Todd Kelman have said that the Challenge Cup format is going to change. Is that a good thing, David? Depends what way it's going to change.
Wait to see what the idea is.
Yeah. Yes, at the minute,
the format is what the format is. You know, this all depends. You know, we've talked about it for many years now that the current setup suits Nottingham and Sheffield because they get those extra, you know, couple of home games against each other with huge crowds, and that's financially great for them. But then I guess the complaints have been that, and it's, I don't think it's a valid complaint anymore, because I think the strength of the Scottish hockey teams has improved that much now. You know, Glasgow, Dundee and Fife have proved, even though they've been at the other end of the table, there are no rollovers in any given night. And, you know, I think the arguments were, Belfast are getting a freebie in the semi-finals. That's not the case. And it's good test early season for us. So let's wait and see what the new format is. I don't know if Sizz has heard anything more about it than that, but I haven't heard anything about any format yet.
Sizz, you have anything?
No idea.
No. It was just what was announced at the sort of it. But yeah, go on, Marty. Do you want to?
I just think they could prioritize, say, one Sunday in the year to host the Challenge Cup final, or a Saturday, and just have no other game. I know the schedule's tight, but have no other games in that given day. You know, just give it a little more worth than just slotting it in, playing all them games just to have it on a random Wednesday night. Yeah. I think it deserves a little more. If you're going to put so much effort into it, then, you know, make it have the cup final feel.
Wrap it up before Christmas.
I think that if you're going to change it, that's what I would do. I would try and get it done before Christmas and let teams concentrate on the league trophy. With regards, Marla, I see your point, but you still got Belfast the two seasons, 22 and 23 on a Wednesday night, and he sold out both at the SSA Arena. Sheffield did exactly the same in Sheffield there last March as well. So, and before that, it was a Sunday because we traveled twice to Cardiff to win both, the big Cardiff in 2017 and then 2018 Guildford. Against Guildford. So it's been they're like, let's just see what they come out with. You know, Cardiff will not be happy because they haven't won anything in a couple of years now, so they'll want to change things around. Sheffield will probably want to keep it the way it is, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be one of those things that, you know, some people are going to be happy, some people are going to groan about it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, a bit of interesting news. We'll see what comes of it. Big thanks to everybody who sent in messages. And in true Davey McGimsey style, I'll go back on the Twitter and I'll reply to a number of those with some information. Or some of the takes. And for the final time this season, mate, lads, any other business? I'm going to start myself with one. Not to do watches, but a big congratulations to Sam Rupp, who has got his shot in the DEL with Ingolstadt. You know, he's got a German passport. He's wanted to go that way. He's a great player for us last season, and a Grand Slam winner. You know, great, and you know, just an overall good lad. And I'm, you know what, I was dead pleased to see that, because he's just he's the most upbeat, sound lad. And so the fact that, you know, he's fought hard to get that spot, you know, wonderful to see. I'm really, really pleased to see it.
Yeah, brilliant. I sent him a text there when I heard the news. And he is probably, he's one of the nicest lads. Like, and you there's so many people that you come across who have put on the Belfast Giants jersey over the years. And, you know, there's an awful lot of them that you stay, you know, in contact with and reach out to every once in a while. And don't get me wrong, there's other ones that you'd want to see the back off and just really couldn't care less about. But Sam's definitely in the front part of that, because he's just the nicest guy. His family are you know, just the same every time they were in Belfast the year before this. It's fantastic to see him getting a chance to play at that level. I think he'll thrive at it. I really do. And I wish him the best of luck. And obviously, you know, he's going to be playing for GB in the World Championships against the likes of Sidney Crosby and Connor Bedard. Good luck on that one, Sam. It's going to be tough enough for him. So, but yeah, congratulations. It's absolutely fantastic. Stepping out of the IHL, you know, playing a season in DEL2, and now getting a chance to play in DEL. Brilliant.
Any other business for you, gents?
Yeah, I've got one. Our wee mate Blake's back in hospital again. Unfortunately, couldn't make the playoff weekend. So I'm just giving a shout out to wee Blake and Co and all the other kids who have been struggling this year as well. And that includes adults as well. You know, it's been a season where we've had so many new fans. And look, we were all at the arena a few weeks ago, and so many people come up to us, and I get it every week, you know, new fans coming in and enjoying the podcast. I know we get to the end of the season. It's been every Tuesday night. I mean, next Tuesday night, I can assure you, I will not be sitting in front of a laptop. I will do my very best to be out playing golf and see where we get to. But look, you know, it's always nice when people come up to you and say, well, we really enjoyed the podcast, or says you're shit on the podcast last week. Thanks very much for that. It's brilliant. It's a bit of crack. We always have a bit of fun and take the piss out of people. So, you know, let me take a chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. It is what it is.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it says, you summed yourself up perfectly there, Alan. I just want to say thanks for letting me chip in every now and again, just to cover when one of you guys are busy or something's going on. It's been fun. And Yeah, I enjoy it. So I really appreciate you, you know, asking me to come in and pitch in. And he's just laughing there. And yeah, he
no, I'm not laughing with that, Marty. I'm not laughing with that. David just sent a wee message out of the WhatsApp group. It's very funny.
But yeah, no, that's all I want to say. Thanks.
David, anything from you, including?
One piece of family news. That Belfast Giants number 19, Colin Shields, just last weekend had a little baby boy. So congratulations to Shane. Well, he didn't, but he is now the father of a little baby boy called Norrie.
Wonderful news.
After his grandfather. And so everyone's doing well, and hopefully get a picture that we can show on the next podcast when he's 3 or 4 months old, obviously. But listen, before I so congratulations to Colin
100%
and family, Martin and Margaret, obviously, Granny and Granda, be very pleased. And before I get too emotional, because I don't deal with change very well. At the end of the season is always a time of emotions, like sitting after the game or actually before the game. I get really, I'm an old sop, and I was given Besco's custard tart, as we've been doing over, it seems like quite a while now, and giving him the last one being tough and Besco having a custard tart. Wee things like that get me right in the face. I'm really, really privileged to be a very small part in this podcast and a little helper out sometimes around the club. It's so much fun. LFG boys, there's another season coming.
There is.
We'll be back.
And don't do yourself down, mate. The four parts of this podcast are equal. I think, you know, I say this every single year, and I absolutely mean it. It's the fact that this is something that I get to speak to you three lads about, something that, you know, we all enjoy, a passion that we all have. And I'm very privileged. I feel very privileged and very humble that anybody, you know, tunes in, anybody tunes in to listen to it, because we enjoy doing it. We enjoy talking about this club. We enjoy talking about this game week in, week out through this season. But this show doesn't happen without the three things that you, the things that you lads put in. Before you do, you know, David, you know, the video stuff that you do is brilliant for what we have here, and you dig in every single week with that. Sizz helps out with all the interviews and stuff like that. Marty's been digging in this year as well with when we've needed him. He's been there. He's been an absolutely phenomenal addition to the show, and it's something that I'm very proud of, and I'm very grateful to everybody. You see all these people down the side here, I'm going to point the right way. All these people down the side here who all the way through this season, week in, week out, have been sending this message on Twitter, have been sending this message on Facebook, on YouTube, on whatever, and have been interacting with this show, because this show doesn't happen unless we know that, you know, people enjoy it, or people that, you know, they want to be part of it, they want the information. Big thank you to everybody involved. Big thank you to everybody at the club who's been involved, and like the lads who have come on week in, week out. It's like, this is the only week of the entire run of the season that we've not had a member of the Belfast Giants on. And that's because they deserve their time off. That's because they deserve to be going out and enjoying themselves. That's because they've had a long, hard season, and tonight is the night they're going to go and really enjoy themselves. So we've never had any bother with the club. The club have always supported us in what we do, and we're very, very grateful to them on that. It's been 34 shows of this podcast, season 19 of A View from the Bridge. It's been, you know, mostly enjoyable apart from the defeats, but I am very grateful to you three lads for everything you offered with regards to it. We will be back in a few months' time. Sorry, David, you want to say something before I do that?
I just tweeted the other day about, for anyone that's not into poetry and stuff, Rudyard Kipling's If. And one line that jumped out at me the other day of Rudyard Kipling's F was, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. Well, I hope we won with grace and class last season. And I hope that this season we've treated defeat with grace and class, and that we'll rebuild and we'll be back in September to do it all again. August, actually.
August. Here, here, here. And with that, no better way to finish. Big thanks to everybody who's been part of the show. Big thanks to everybody who's been tuning in. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, on Facebook, on all the normal parts, kingdomofthegiants.com, all that normal stuff. The Belfast Giants finished third in the quarterfinals of Challenge Cup and made it all the way to the final dance. But ultimately, they fell short. Next year, it'll be a different story. Wherever you spend your summer, we hope you enjoy it. We'll catch you here next time. One of you from the bridge.
know I turned wrong. Left your heart torn. Is that what devils do? Took you so long, where only fools go. I shook the angel and you. Now I'm rising from the ground, rising up to you. Filled with all the strength I find, there's nothing I can't do.
For the Giants.
Alex finds the net.
And there come the cowboy hats.
Yeehaw!
What a goal! Oh, what a finish!
Podcast Network.